We got a special guest with me today. His name is Lou Manzo. One of the books under his belt is Ruthless Ambition. Ruthless Ambition, it has everything to do with Chris Christie. You can go to ruthlessambitionthebook.com. That's ruthlessambitionthebook.com and learn more about Lou Manzo's connection to Chris Christie and the insights that he's going to share with us today in even further detail. With that, let me introduce you to a guest that's been with us in the past, and we are thrilled to have him with us again. Lou, welcome to the show, sir.
Thank you so much, Mark, and thanks for the opportunity again. Good to be back.
Well, it's our pleasure. Thank you. Now, okay, where are you calling from today? Are you back on the East Coast?
I'm back on the East Coast. I'm calling from my home in Belmar, New Jersey.
How's your weather?
We got a bit of winter coming this way. We had a little bit of frost. North Jersey got some snow last night, just a dusting, but we're expecting, that Arctic chill to hit us here for the next couple of days.
Yeah. Well, you hang in there, partner. We've been watching the national news, and it looks like it's quite a burden.
Yeah.
Anyway, all right, let's talk a little bit about this election. Something I want to share with you, and the timing on this I thought was just phenomenal. And then, Lou, I'm going to totally open it up to you. I just read an article recently out of the Washington Post by the Democrat from Massachusetts, U.S. Senate, Elizabeth Warren. I know you're familiar with her.
Yes.
And Elizabeth was discussing... but for all the talk of change in our society, in Washington, in the states, where one party is taking over from another, she states, one thing has not changed, the stock market and the gross domestic product. Well, they keep going up. While the majority of middle-income families or lower-income families in the country have been squeezed hard by the economy, and it's just not working for the healthy majority in the United States. And she goes on to point out that it may not necessarily be big government or small government that's really the issue here. It's not the size of the government that worries the majority of people. It's deep down we have a concern over who the government is working for. And she says that people are ready to work, they're ready to do their part, and I know that's true for my listening audience, and they're ready to fight for their futures and their children's futures. But they see a government that's bowing and scraping for big corporations, big banks, big oil companies, and big political donors, and they know this government is not working for us. So let's talk a little bit, if we may, how that plays in to what we just witnessed in this election, shall we?
I think that explains exactly the election last week and or 2 weeks ago, and that the country as a whole, not Democrat, Republican, but independent Democrat and Republican, just were fed up with the status quo. And that's what that was about.
Wow. Well, I've been hearing it for the longest time. Lou, maybe you can help us out, because I hear it from my callers. But you know another thing that I witness? Nobody wants it to be their party. Nobody can admit, for the better part, that it's their own party that has the problem. So they keep reelecting the same people and or people that are running on the same party platform. And as a result of that, they still buy into the mantra of that platform. So if somebody can get up in there, they're a decent speaker. Well, let's put it this way. I'll give you an example. We have a candidate that was elected here. She's the first woman, black member of Congress. Now, black isn't an issue here. Okay, but it's interestingly enough, she made the statement that there were people in Utah that said that Utah would never elect a black woman to go back and represent them in Congress, so she made it the issue. Does that make sense? But they
no.
Okay, they did because of the gerrymandering of our districts here in the state, in the Republican-controlled state that it is. So, for example, where the Democrat would have controlled the most populated county, Salt Lake County, because of the Utah County vote here along the Wasatch Front in Utah, she actually flipped the election and took it away by 4 or 5 points. Apologize, I'm dying here with this head cold, so it's hard to get this all in. But anyway, long story short, very simply, she won the election. She's a very good speaker, but 26% of the people that voted on the Utah County ballots, all right, voted straight across the board Republican.
Mm-hmm.
So the issues don't even matter to them. It's just Republican. It's all platform rhetoric. And that's what I heard this individual get up time and again. She's a dynamic speaker. I hand that to her. And she has a lovely spirit about herself in many respects. But I didn't hear any substance from her. Regardless, she's going to go back and represent us in Washington now. Where does that leave us in America?
Well, you've probably seen, you're going to have a different contrast from what I saw. I'm from, and you're right in making those observations, but let me take you to the flip side, Jersey, which is similar to Utah, only we're a more Democratic state, and we are gerrymandered the same way Utah is, Republican-wise. We have the same problems in New Jersey, yet.
But either way, it's wrong. I agree with you.
It is terribly wrong. But what happened here in New Jersey, and I'm a Democrat, I'm from one of the country's Democratic bastions, Hudson County. And what happened in New Jersey was the anger of the voters for just those things you identified, neither party, identifying with the working class people and their problems, and toying and tinkering around with every other issue under the sun. They went deep down the ballot, and Democrats threw Democrats out. So, there was more you could see of the anger in Democratic strongholds than you would see in a Republican stronghold, because the status quo in this election, on the national level, was seen as the Democrats causing the problem. That was the barometer, and the polling all indicated that. I did a blog, and I was astonished. I was doing research for it, and I'm calling Democrats up and asking them where they are and what their position is, and they're telling me they've had it with their party, they're bolting their party, and they're not coming back to their party. And these are people mostly who were blue-collar Democrats, a lot of young people who had gotten involved because of the Obama election the last two times, who were fed up. So there's been a change in attitude, and you got to remember, and this is what the parties miss, that forget Republican, Democrat, Independent. When you look at political philosophy, the overwhelming majority of Americans are a little bit right of center. They're more conservative than they are liberal. And the arguments being had between the two sides fighting in both parties, the Tea Party and the establishment Republicans, and then you have the Democratic Party, which is, I say, they're way off the cliff to the left side, and there's nobody battling to get back to the center. So who's going to benefit? The party that's having the argument right of center, and that's the Republican Party. And that's what happened last Tuesday. Everybody was saying these elections were knotted up around the country. You had to look to one poll. There was a poll done by CNN about a week out before the election, and it said 70% of the American people were fed up with the direction of the country. And that told you everything you needed to know, because a lot of those people who were undecided in those elections, they weren't telling the pollsters what they were going to do and vote, but they answered that question. They were fed up with the direction. If they were fed up with the direction, they were going to go with the new swing, and they're going to try and give the Republicans a chance to see if they can do anything.
I wonder, what are they fed up with? Because I think people were fed up when Obama was elected. I think they were fed up 4 years or 2 years ago. I think they're fed up today. But can anybody put their finger on what they're fed up with?
Well, here it was. They were promised hope and change, and everybody thought this guy was something different than what he turned out to be.
Yeah.
Okay? In a nutshell. And then what's really angered them is this, the economy and job situation. And here's where government becomes its own enemy. Because they fudge stats to get unemployment statistics to benefit whichever administration is in.
Right.
They do not include college kids who can't find a job but weren't in the workforce yet. They don't include individuals who have given up looking for a job and once had one. And they don't include individuals who've closed businesses down and lost jobs. So when you, if you were to put all those statistics in there, you'd have a great problem with unemployment in this country that, you know, the statistics, you know, as they make them, do not show.
And people are making the money that they used to make.
That is exactly it. And then when they see what the agenda of Washington is, are they working on these problems? No. Washington was more concerned, and I got it, about passing an immigration bill and bringing, you know, immigrants into our country to make their lives better than they are concerned about making the American people's lives better.
You know,
that is the anger that's resonating.
What's the purpose behind that, Lou? Because, you know, I was recently reading an article on the 20-somethings. Those individuals that were 18 and into their early 20s in 2008 when the financial crisis hit, over the last 6 years, have had a tremendous decline in childbirth. So what we know is there are going to be repercussions with respect to that in the next 20 years.
That's exactly right. And I hate to say there's a political motive behind what we're seeing, but there certainly is. And when you look at other laws that have been passed concerning, you know, how we treat the status of immigrants in the country and wanting to get them driver's licenses, for example, like California is going to do, it leads to other problems because, you know, we have laws now that you can't even question someone as to where they came from once they're in the country. And if they have a driver's license, they have access to, guess what, to getting to voting registration and being able to vote. And unfortunately, I heard an argument that I said that that's just too far-fetched, that, you know, the new transformation of the Democratic Party was to, you know, grab a great deal of these, you know, illegal voters, if you will, and find a way for them to vote.
Yeah,
that's what I see.
I'm completely opposed to that. I stand with you on that. Completely opposed to that. Listen, we're going to be right back after the station break. We're going to be with Lou Manzo again, author of Ruthless Ambition. We've got a lot to talk about. We're going to take your calls. Stay with us. You're listening to Maxon.
The joy of the holidays is captured by all children. The delight of the festive seasons belongs to all families in every home. At Prices Guaranteed Doors, we have some very special holiday ideas for you and your home. Get a brand new 16x7 steel garage door, completely installed for only $6.99. And Prices Doors will throw in a lifetime maintenance program at no charge. That's a $259 value. Add a Genie garage door opener for only $2.99. Or a new fiberglass entry door with a new frame, new threshold, and a doorknob for only $3.99. Now would be a great time to get your garage door tuned up for only $39. We will lube and adjust your garage door and make it work like new again. Call Prices at 975-7575. That's 975-7575. We service the Wasatch Front to St. George. Let us save you money for the holidays. They come and go so quickly. Call 975-7575.
Today is the day you switch to Rite Aid for one simple reason, Wellness Plus, the card that gives you credits you can use like cash, plus discounts that only members get, plus 20% off almost the entire store, plus that's for a whole year, plus rewards that start today and pile on every time you shop. So if you're tired of missing out on all the pluses only Rite Aid delivers, visit RiteAidWellness.com to sign up and learn more today about Wellness Plus. Rite Aid, with us, it's personal.
Geico Motorcycle presents Reflections from the Road.
The day I knew I was a real biker was when I switched to Geico Motorcycle Insurance. Because real bikers, well, they know where the savings are. And you know what else makes you a real biker? A sweet tattoo. Check mine out. Just got it yesterday. It says Heal on Wheels. Wait, Heal on Wheels? Oh, man. Well, at least I got the saving money with Geico part, right?
Geico Motorcycle Insurance. See how much you could save.
Hi, this is Alan Blood with Capital Financial Group. With home values increasing and low rates still available, now is the perfect time to refinance your home. Capital Financial Group, we have loan programs to fit your refinance needs, whether you want to pull cash out from your home, decrease your interest rate and monthly payment, or just reduce your loan to a 15-year payoff. We have programs that will help you refinance even if your income or credit is less than it used to be. you're underwater on your mortgage. Instead of getting lost in the shuffle of a big bank or paying high fees at a credit union, call us and we'll help you refinance with the best rates and lowest closing costs for you. You may even qualify for one of our no closing cost loans. Call me today, Alan Blood, at 801-298-5887 to start saving money on your mortgage now. 801-298-5887, NMLS number 3146.
And we're back. Yes, we are. You're listening to Max On. This is the Max On Show. Good to be with you today. We have Lou Manzo on with us. Lou has authored a number of books. Among them is the book Ruthless Ambition. You can go to ruthlessambitionthebook.com and learn all about this insider's take on the Chris Christie administration. Lou, I want to thank you again for joining us today. Tell me, first and foremost, because I've got a few calls that would like to talk to you. Before we go there, what basically would you want to share with us about this election and what it means to us most of all today?
Well, the most important thing is to realize that, you know, what happened to the Democratic Party nationwide, the American people sent the message. You know, a lot of people talk about that, oh, it was a low turnout, but there was a message sent, and that low turnout, even with that low turnout, there were many Democrats who jumped over and voted Republican. So what they need to do is take stock in what they did in sending that message and now hold accountable those people who are in office to do their agenda and not the agenda of lobbyists and other people when they get to Washington, because all the new people are going to meet a whole new breed of compatriots, if you will, when they get to Washington, and that's the lobbyists, and that's the people who lead their party, who try to push them in sort of this, you know, certain way that everybody says this is the problem with both parties, and they're right. So the American people have to hold their feet.
What good does it do us? What good does it do us? Because I think you're going to be one of the first to agree that the corruption and the collusion between government and industry is everywhere. Does our vote even mean anything anymore if we vote Republican or Democrat at a state level or a national level?
It might take a couple of cycles, but it will. But the vote on last Tuesday went, you know, it was more than just national because, for example, New Jersey, it went down deep in the ballot and it threw out, and nationwide you'll see this, there were Democrats thrown out of office who were at local levels who were actually more conservative than the people at the top of the ticket, but they bared the brunt of that. And that is, you know, by and large, the bread and butter of the party. So those people are sore. The worst thing you can do to a politician is throw them out of office. And the fear of that, believe it or not, is more fearful of where he's going to get his next campaign dollar because, you know, the campaign dollar doesn't do him any good. Unless he can get elected, and if the American people have that fervor and show that anger as they are now, they've awakened, and if they continue on this path, they can wake up the Congress, they can wake up the Senate, and get them to start paying attention to their agenda and politely tell their contributors that you know we have a problem with what the agenda you're pushing at this time. I got to pay attention to the folks who are voting for me.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, we hope anyway, right?
Well, we hope. Now, you're right about, I mean, this agenda, and I hope, you know, I said about where did this immigration agenda come from? It's being pushed mainly by the Chamber of Commerce, which has a lot of money, as you know, being put into the coffers of Republican candidates all over the country. So it's going to be interesting to see, you know, now if they, you know, hold the president's foot to the fire here when he tries to push this agenda item across, which is basically politically driven.
It is politically driven. I think one of two things. A party will derive votes as a result of this invasion.
That's right.
But at the same time, I think somebody behind the scenes has it in their mind that we need this labor force in this country.
That's the other thing. Yeah. It's a mutual, if you would. It's mutual. And to me, the party that's really going to suffer here is going to be the Republican Party. Number one, because they're not doing an agenda item in line with the American people and their own, grassroots voters. And number two, they're doing it at the behest of contributors. But number three, the main reason, it's going to benefit their counterparts, the Democrats, because they're never going to be able to register, and they don't have the skill as Democratic politicians, if you will, and I've seen it up in Hudson and in other areas. They're more adept at registration and able to get out a vote and know how to, you know, register, you know, people who are on the government dole, if you will, to help their party out.
Let's take some calls, shall we?
Sure.
Let's go to Macho. Macho, you're on live with Lou Manzo.
Yeah, you know, I want to ask you, do you know Chris Christie personally?
I don't know him personally. I know of him very well. I was the state assemblyman up here when he was our U.S. attorney up here.
And so in other words,
let me ask you this.
Obviously, hold on one second, Macho. You've had professional interaction with this individual,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Well, my question is he what how he is portrayed on TV? I mean, because I don't see any redeeming qualities from what I've seen over the television set. And I wonder why somebody hasn't stood up to him yet.
Well, I went through a whole
book
of it. If you
told me
mainly
to sit down and
all,
shut up, I'd tell him to sit down and shut up.
Mainly, I happen to share your opinion. I see the same thing you saw. That's what my book is about. But there is, however, a whole other side of our country that sees something like that incident and saying, yeah, that's what I like in a politician.
Yeah, that's
because he's yelling down at somebody who might not be on the same side of the
issue. Macho, you can't talk at the same time with Lou. Let him go ahead and finish. Then you're welcome to talk. So stay with us.
But Macho, what's happening is someone who sees that, you know, might agree with Christie on that issue and they like the way he responded to that individual. But what I see is the fear that what if I brought an issue to this guy that he might not disagree with that I'm in favor of? Am I going to get treated the same way that poor guy got out? You know, got hit with the sit down and shut up, and that's Christie's attitude. He gets away with it mainly because in other states when he travels the country, he knows how to handle the press. He's as good, and I said this on your show last time, he's as good on his feet as Bill Clinton is. You know, he can get out of any scrap. He knows how to promote his celebrity, and that's all he is. He's all about putting on a celebrity, and when he has these gaffes like he did with that, he can, you know, he knows how to dance his way out of it.
Is that the real Chris Christie, though?
That is the real Chris Christie, and I got news for you. There's a worse side, Macho, and that's the corruption side of him, and I detail that in the book on how he used the system
Macho, hold on a second. Let me go ahead. You detail in the book Ruthless Ambition the corruption side. Is that right, Lou?
And I show how he used his offices, his government offices, to benefit his political agenda. And that's more frightening than his persona.
Now, he even ran a campaign, did he not?
Well, his persona doesn't necessarily scare me. My thing is it true that he used Sandy relief funds to more or less say to people, look, you better get on board and endorse me, you better give me donations, whatever, or your city's not going to get any money?
That's what the evidence seems to show, yes. Yes, he did that. Statements were made. It's being investigated right now by a legislative committee and the U.S. Attorney's Office. I've said that the U.S. Attorney's Office...
Hold on, gentlemen, both of you. Isn't that, Lou, isn't that racketeering?
That's racketeering, but the problem is he and you'll learn this from the book, is because he's a former U.S. attorney, he gets to walk between raindrops and no one, and this is the problem with our country. We went through that terrible U.S. attorney scandal. The Justice Department doesn't eat their own. There's another book out there, Mark, written by Sidney Powell, a former U.S. attorney, where she exposes gross cases of the same type of crap that went on with Chris Christie throughout the country. It's endemic in our Justice Department about people using the system to promote political agendas, prosecuting their political opposition, and prosecuting companies, if you will, to raise themselves money. It's sickening, and more importantly, it's frightening, and it's something that somebody has to pay attention to.
Hey, listen.
Well, my question is when are we going to stop giving just blank checks of money to states? why is it that we can just give a blank check for Sandy relief disaster, and they can just take the money and spend it on a campaign commercial if they want?
Yeah, well, good question. Real quick.
Why is it that we not make sure that they spend the money on where is the accounting?
Macho, great question. I'm going to give some others a chance to get their questions in. Appreciate the call, brother. Listen in.
Bye.
Thank you. Go ahead, Lou.
Yeah, he's right. And there are laws that are specifically written to prevent that. The question is, who is enforcing those laws? And that's the problem. And where is the congressional oversight, which every, you know, those committees which argued for, you know, on the Sandy money and giving and granting the relief that they gave to those states, there should be oversight in those committees to make sure those monies weren't misused the way they were in New Jersey, and unfortunately we're lacking that oversight. Maybe we'll get it in this Congress.
Lou, you made the statement that the Justice Department doesn't prosecute their own?
That's correct. They don't eat their own.
They don't eat their own. Okay, let's take a look at the governor and his wife from the Carolinas. What was that, North Carolina, South Carolina?
That was North Carolina. That was a rare exception. He was a former, yes, he was a former U.S. attorney, a rare exception on, you know, the case there was so evident against him. And by the way, you'll find out that there was a political agenda to move him out that satisfied both political parties.
That's interesting. Always a political agenda. Look for the cause behind it. How about, what's his name again? Doggone. The governor that was a former prosecutor that went down in recent years back on the East Coast. I can't think of his name. Mental block.
Oh, you had you had Ted Stevens, who was the Alaska senator, who was falsely prosecuted, lost his seat, and it turned out that, you know, it was a political agenda again. They hid the evidence, and actually one of the prosecutors committed suicide on that case because he didn't want to face the repercussions and disgrace of him losing his license and his position over what happened in that case.
I remember that, but I'm thinking about Spitzer.
Yes, Elliot Spitzer was another one caught, if you will, you know, very gruff guy, similar to Christie. But when you look at the incidents around him, I hate to say it was a setup. You know, it sounds cheesy or chinky, but there was more to that because of the agenda he was pursuing
in trying to drive out lobbyists in New York State. Yeah, they wanted to take him out.
That's correct.
And interesting how the philandering on his behalf received the level of press that it did, but the corruption seems to be suppressed in the press.
What does that tell us? They went after, they found, yeah, the guy had a weakness. Yeah, he was a philanderer, and they exploited that. Somebody knew, his enemies knew that, and they exploited that to the hilt, and they popped him out.
Why is it America seems to be? Yeah, let me just run a couple things by, and we'll take some more calls. We're lined up here. They want to talk to you. Just a couple of quick questions. I'm going to turn it over to you, the callers. 801-254-5855. I think we've still got a line open. Okay, now, Lou, let's take a look at some changes in America. I go back to the glory of the Camelot era of the Kennedys. Mm-hmm. It was glamour, it was style, fashion, substance, highly educated. I mean, make no bones about it. John Kennedy was highly educated. He was very intelligent in so many respects. A womanizer in his own right, but go back to the substance. There was class. It seemed to be that it entered into our government. Today and America seemed to embrace it back then. Today, no ill intent here at all in saying this, but you know, now we seem to glorify reality shows about you know, individuals with long beards, and they got the shotgun rifles, and you know, it's about their Christian ethics. And they're not refined, they're not articulate, they're just as everyday can possibly get. But we glorify that. What's the shift in America over the last 50 years that we seem to be going backward?
We are. I think a lot of that has to do with the advances of the internet and technology, which has opened up all these avenues for promoting this stuff, and unfortunately, the worst part about it is the news. The actual news being reported is taking the same fashion, if you will, as almost one of these TV shows.
Oh, it's the news is like entertainment
tonight.
It's
more about celebrity than it is about news.
Yeah, it's pathetic.
It horrible.
Really is. I'm inclined, you know, I watch all of them, from Fox to CNN to ABC, NBC, CBS, and I noticed over the years that with NBC Today Show, for example, in the morning, you got a little bit of in the news, and the rest of it was all, it might as well be titled Entertainment This Morning.
Yeah. And by the way, Mark, you hit on something which is incredible. When you hearkened back to the Kennedy era, and you said that was the turning point, you know, where you could say this is where the country started going the other way, if you will, or we began a great decline, and perhaps it's because he was the last president, if you will. Eisenhower warned us about the American Industrial Society, but Kennedy was, after the Bay of Pig, was about to dismantle the American Industrial Society, if you will, and also take apart the CIA and a lot of the government agencies that he saw were the, if you will, what people allude to as the government behind the government in Washington.
Amen.
That has operated, you know, between the two parties.
Amen. Amen. I have often wondered what this nation would look like today had he, his brother, survived.
Yeah.
I think it would be, in a positive light, a very different face that we would be seen for, you know, recognized for.
We want to believe.
It leaves me speechless. Go ahead.
Yeah, we do live in the greatest democracy on earth, but we have no idea what goes on behind those doors. We got a little taste of it in the last 6 years with the NSA scandals.
Yeah.
What's gone on in Benghazi, you know, and how we've seen how military industrialists have really been putting us into position with these wars. And now you're seeing, you know, even with the, look at this, just this week, with the Affordable Care Act, we're learning, you know, from the chief architect of it, Jonathan Gruber, who also put together the Massachusetts plan, that he basically lied to the American people because they were so stupid and wouldn't understand the bill.
Absolutely inexcusable.
This is horrible.
Absolutely inexcusable. We're going to be right back. We're talking to Lou Manzo. We're going to take your calls as soon as we come back from this break. Stay with us. You're listening to Maxon.
In this era of overspecialization, it's nice to know there's a highly skilled dentist that can take care of your whole family. From orthodontics to wisdom tooth removal, cosmetic dentistry to crowns and implants. Not only that, the entire clinic is family friendly. There's even a playroom for the kids. Now let me recommend Dr. Sam Ritchie in Riverton at the Lighthouse Dental, located at the southwest corner of Bangor and 134th South. From the moment you walk in, you're going to feel at home. The rates are reasonable and there are several types of financing available, no matter what your family's dental needs might be. Tell the receptionist you're a K-Talk listener and you'll get an initial consultation and examination, including x-rays, absolutely free. Call 801-253-GRIN. That's easy to remember. 253-4746. That's 253-GRIN. Call now, 253-GRIN, to schedule your free consultation, 801-253-GRIN, and remember to tell them Mills referred you, or you can visit them at their website, lighthousesmiles.com.
Blue Coat Systems, Inc. has an opportunity for a senior SW development web app controls engineer in Draper, Utah, to build a SaaS cloud product in an agile test and development environment. Interested applicants, please reference job code number 1533 and mail your resume to Attention S. Flores, HR Representative, Blue Coat Systems, Inc., 420 North Mary Avenue, Sunnyvale, California, 94085. No phone calls or emails, please. All candidates must be legally authorized to work in the U.S. without sponsorship. EOE.
And we're back. You're listening to Maxon. Thanks for joining us today. You'll find us Fridays from 1 to 3 Mountain Time, right here, broadcasting live from the studios of K-Talk AM 630 along the Wasatch Front in the great state of Utah. Big thank you to our sponsors, and I'm wishing you a wonderful weekend ahead. We have Lou Manzo on the air with us. Again, you can find his book, Ruthless Ambition. All right. At the at ruthlessambitionthebook.com, and or you can get to amazon.com, and I believe, Lou, they can also go to Barnes & Noble, is that correct?
Yeah, it's in a lot of Barnes & Nobles, but the easiest and cheapest way is always at amazon.com.
Amazon.com.
In this economy, I suggest they go the cheapest route.
There you go. Lou Manzo, just like it sounds, M-A-N-Z-O. He is the author. The title of the book, Ruthless Ambition. Ruthless Ambition, and you can go to ruthlessambitionthebook.com to learn more about it. I suggest you get your hands on this book. We're going to take some calls as promised. John, welcome to the show. You're on live.
Earlier, you were talking about how, your guest was talking about how he's talked to Democrats that were just sick of their party, and you know they were going to do something differently. But he didn't say what they said they were going to do. And I'm assuming it was not vote, considering the turnout for the last election was less than 37%. And I've heard on this radio station many, many, many times that, you know, I'm sure it was just euphoria that, you know, the Republicans won or whatever, but they're, you know, basically saying, oh, it's a mandate against Obama's policies. It's this mandate and that mandate, and it's a clear mandate. Now, the clear mandate is the 73% of people who didn't vote. You know what I mean? And so my question for your guest is basically, what did those people say they were going to do that didn't like the Democrats? Because obviously it wasn't vote Republican.
Well, in Hudson County, again, it was one of the lowest turnouts, you're right. But the problem is because they only had the, in Hudson County, a Democrat is going to get elected, you know, very rarely have Republicans been elected before. The only time they were before was during the Reagan Revolution. You're right. A lot of people stayed home with the, from voting. But overall, that affected all parties. Republicans stayed home. Democrats stayed home. Yes, independents stayed home. But still, in all, you know, the people who did vote, the people who were angered enough, didn't lose faith in the ability to change democracy. They did come out to the polls and they did pull levers for Republicans. And a good deal of the way those Republicans won in a lot of those states were the abandonment of Democrats who used to be core Democrats, from their party and bolting. And that happened before for Reagan. They were called the Reagan Democrats. The problem this time around is that there is nobody that they see in the party. And I asked about Hillary Clinton, because Bill Clinton was the guy who brought those Reagan Democrats back to the party to help them win when he ran, but they don't view Hillary as the same type, in the same mold as Bill, and they actually cast her as a far left candidate, not willing to fight on their agenda. So this becomes a problem for that party in the transformation that they're facing over, leading into 2016.
John, good call. Good call. Any other points?
Yeah, I just wanted to say, it's sad that at least half of those 73% that didn't vote didn't go out and just vote third party. Because then, we'd actually get some things done that we wanted done, and we'd get out of people's business and, maybe get off foreign oil, maybe stop paying brown kids on the other side of the world for no reason.
Well, speaking of
that, John, you're right. That's why they wanted a two-party game in Washington. You're absolutely right.
Let's talk about this for a second, because oil, you bring up big oil and the control that it has over our government today. You talked about the military-industrial complex that Eisenhower warned us of, okay, and Kennedy's intentions. Gorbachev recently stated that the world's on the brink of a new Cold War. He said our triumphalism after the collapse of the Soviet Union and the dissolution of the communist bloc a quarter of a century ago has postured the United States to kind of work from the bully pulpit, so to speak. We're a bunch of bullies. We have an agenda. We're going to see to it that agenda comes about. How much of that agenda do you think is about furthering the profitability of the military-industrial complex, of the oil industry, et cetera, in your opinion, Lou?
There's a good deal of it. I mean, they go hand in hand. They have, you could trace it back to the Vietnam War, for crying out loud, and the problems that faced Jimmy Carter when he was president, with the oil cartels and OPEC forming and the problems and the headaches they caused for his administration. The one good thing we have done as a country is that we are now more self-reliant on oil. But, the stuff that Putin is talking about, over there. That's all about oil. He just wants to get his pipeline built, if you will, so he could provide Europe with a good deal of the oil that they need, and including some of our NATO allies. So, you know, at the bottom line of all these arguments, yes, there's a commodity and there's a business involved. It's oil. And, you know, the sad thing is you have the military industrial society. They need a war to continue to profit themselves. So they put us into these situations, globally. And, you know, they like to keep that part of the, information sort of at the back pages and not bring it to the forefront to the American people. But, you know, we have to be on guard for that.
All right, John, I want to thank you again for your call. Good call.
Thanks, guys.
Have a beautiful weekend, man. All right, again, the book is Ruthless Ambition. The author is with us right now, Lou Manzo, and we're going to take another call. We have another John. John, welcome to the show.
Yeah, Lou, you're a Democrat?
Yes, I am.
So you say that most Americans are centered to the right, so extreme left, how would you define them, and who has an agenda that's extremely left to you
Well, I identify when you look at the, you know, throw away the party labels for a minute, Republican, Independent, and Democrat, and if you were polled, and polling has showed this, if you would ask the American public where they align philosophically, more conservative, more liberal, if you had a line right down the middle, which was moderate, and you said, you know, an inch to this line is a Democrat, and a right to that, you know, an inch to the right of the line is a Republican, you would find that the majority of American people are more right-sided, moderate. They're more conservative than they are liberal. And the problem in the Democratic Party right now is that they are so far left.
Oh, really?
They're out of touch with the moderate base of their party, which sees representing their viewpoints, and that's the issue with their party.
How do you come to that conclusion,
yeah,
Lou?
By the fact of if you look at the philosophies of the leading two figures that are going to be grappling for the presidency, who will shape the party as well as the national committee of the party.
Biden is
extremely left.
So far to the left.
And you know, you have a president now who is far to the left, and a national committee, which I said is out of touch. Well, both national committees are really out of touch with the grassroots of their parties, but they are
far
so far
to the
left, they didn't even see this
hold on,
freight
John.
Train, as I said, coming.
Okay. Go ahead, John.
So far to the left is what? Healthcare that's affordable, clean air, drinkable water. What's far to the left?
Well, it's far to the left means what agenda are you fighting for? Right now, there's a problem with the middle class dwindling and no one addressing their issues as far as you know, being able to afford to live. College kids who really have been saddled with you know, tuitions the size of mortgages now, and no jobs to show. No, they see nobody working on that agenda, and instead putting all of their efforts into this, like I say, immigration reform. What is the rush for immigration reform with all these other problems on the plate? And that's what they see. They're being ignored.
Oh yeah, they are, and I think that I don't know that they didn't go to the polls because they saw the other candidate being better to the right. I think they stayed to the Democrats stayed to the. And not because they're too far left. I think they stayed away from the polls because they felt like they're not addressing their issues, and the Democratic Party is pulling away from what their core principles. I think that's why they stayed away from.
Well, guys, I'm going to insert here real quick. There was an article recently run on the AP, Why the GOP Won: Shifting White Votes Hurt Democrats. And the gist of it, I think, parallels what Lou's saying here. White voters of all ages were less likely to back Democrats this year than in elections past. This has helped the Republicans nationwide, but most acutely in the South, in the overpowering Democratic efforts to turn out their core supporters among blacks and Hispanics. So I think that basically supports what you're saying here.
Yeah, and there's a little bit more to it. The problem is that the more left you are in your ideology, the more apt you are to raise issues for small, not small minorities. You know, they're pet pet issues of minority interest, not necessarily race, meaning race, but minority interests, that are so far extreme that, you know, what's on the plate that needs to be solved right now. And that's the problem with a far left agenda. It doesn't address what you need to address, and it picks up all these.
I don't see anybody in government that's so far to the left. Tell me where they're far to the left.
Well, let me give an example. The immigration reform bill, number one, and number two, the way they did, even with the Affordable Care Act, what we're learning now about it, and remember, this, in 2016, this bill is going to kick in with, you know, just in time for the election, where families are going to be penalized $695 per family member if they don't have the insurance, and the premiums are now skyrocketing
John, the other issue is that blue collar families now.
This is the middle class who had doctors for a long time have lost their doctors.
Okay, hold on, John. I got to give some others a shot. Thank you for the call. Deeply hope you'll continue to listen in. Lou, you're still there with me, right?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, I kind of appreciate where John's coming from, though.
Yeah.
I have to agree with you on this. Because, you know, as a younger man, I was just a little bit left of center. Undoubtedly, I have been right of center for some time, okay? I will say this, that I am one of those that opposes an immigration reform policy in this country. I think our immigration policies should not be to just take the impoverished that are looking to escape their own country's inadequate policies, inadequate conditions to come here to make a better life, and yet we, the middle-income American people, have to pay for their medical care, their housing, their food stamps, etc. I'm opposed to that. Why, if we're going to have reform in this country, and I think this is a right perspective to the right side of the political spectrum, why don't we allow people that are educated, that want to come to America from Europe, that want to come to America from Australia, New Zealand, wherever it might be, and that have something to offer in building enterprises, in maybe the technological advancements that they can contribute because of the education they've secured elsewhere, and they have money to invest in this country rather than just deplete the country of its resources financially. That's what I stand for. I think I'm that individual that you're describing.
Mark, you're absolutely right. And let me throw another thing in. Whatever happened to all the federal aid, okay, that we're giving to these countries to take care of the problems that, you know, we're bringing immigrants here to solve? We've given these countries, you know, millions and billions of dollars in aid to help them address these problems.
You and I and our listening audience, Lou, they know where that money went. That money went to grease the palms of the power base of that country so that American industry could go in and take out their natural resources, utilizing those resources for personal gain for the executives and the shareholders of those companies. That's how America operates.
You hit it right on the head.
And it's time that America wakes up to smell the coffee. See, I agree with many of the foundational principles of the Republican Party. The problem is the Republican Party has been diluted by special interest groups that represent the uber-rich of this nation. And they use the guise to fool the rest of us that we're getting what we want if we vote Republican. But the fact of the matter is we're not getting what we want. And I assure you that the Republican Party will succumb to this revamp of the immigration policies in the United States. And then the basic argument will be, well, we had to do it or we were going to lose the vote of the people of this country. We were going to lose power. And I think that's fictitious. I think the truth is the big industry wants that cheap labor, and they're willing to let middle-income America pay for it. What do you think?
That's exactly the bottom line, and that's been the real reason that, you know, Republicans are supporting that bill. That there's no getting around it.
Great interview today, Lou. We're out of time. Great interview. For everybody listening, get online. Check it out. Ruthless Ambition. Go to Amazon.com. I strongly recommend you lay your hands on this book because it's really going to explain the inner workings of the corrupt political system in the United States today. Lou, keep up the good work. God bless you, brother.
Thank you so much, Mark. Good talking to you again.
We'll have you back again. Take care, everybody.
Thank you so much.
Be blessed.
The engines of a smarter planet.
Our business depends on the movement of information. Sure, we could use a free file transfer solution like FTP, but if our file transfers, payments, or orders are interrupted, then our business is interrupted.
Which makes that free solution quite costly.
Instead, we rely on Sterling Connect Direct from IBM.
24/7, unattended, uninterrupted, continuous data transfer.
Learn more at IBM.com/engines/connect.
Never bet on a horse named Tripod. Never go cliff diving with a guy named Cliff. It's just too many cliffs. Never tell a zombie he looks like death warmed over. And never trust a car that hasn't been trusted to Midas. Save on brakes, tires, maintenance, and total car care for a car you can depend on long after the warranty expires. You deserve the Midas touch. Save up to $50 on new brake pads or shoes. Installed, $25 per axle. Excludes warranty redemptions, most vehicles at participating Midas.
My dentist's name is Dr. Sam Ritchie, and he's something else. I had an upper molar extracted and an implant that would secure a replacement crown. The assistant had me select a movie. I lay back in the chair, and I was enjoying a film about World War I fighter pilots when Dr. Sam fussed with some preliminary stuff, and as the film neared the end, I wondered, when will the extraction begin? Just then, Dr. Sam said, "All done." "With the extraction?" He nodded. "With the implant?" He nodded again. No discomfort, no anxiety, the friendliest staff you'll ever meet. If you're looking for that kind of dentist, the kind you never have to dread seeing, I know just such a professional. Let me recommend Dr. Sam Ritchie in Riverton at the Lighthouse Dental, located at the southwest corner of Bangor and 134 South. Call 801-253-GRIN. That's easy to remember. 253-4746. That's 253-GRIN. Call now.
You're listening to Utah's first number one talk station. K-Talk, AM 630, KTKK, Sandy, Salt Lake City. The whole truth and nothing but the truth.
NBC News Radio, I'm Pete Williams. The Pentagon says it's overhauling the system for managing the nation's nuclear arsenal after a series of critical reports about security problems. Defense Secretary Chuck Hagel says he's ordering some big changes.
I've directed our analysts to track both the status of the actions we're taking, the progress we're making, and the impact on the health of our nuclear force. We will need to know what's working and what's not.
A town near Ferguson, Missouri is warning residents to be ready for potential unrest that might follow the grand jury announcement in the Michael Brown case. Officials in Berkeley, Missouri are urging residents to prepare as they would for a major storm with plenty of supplies. The House has voted to approve construction of the Keystone XL oil pipeline from Canada through the U.S. to the Gulf Coast. It now goes to the Senate. President Obama may veto it. Another record high for the S&P. It was up just a fraction, though. The Dow down 18, NASDAQ up 8. This is NBC News Radio. A federal review of how a fence jumper managed to elude the Secret Service and enter the White House found inadequate training and communications problems. House Intelligence Committee Chairman Mike Rogers says the trouble starts at the top.
You start to wonder if there isn't a broader cultural problem of management at the Secret Service. Listen, I have known Secret Service. I've served with them when I was an FBI agent. I've certainly had the great fortune to deal with them as chairman.